Hello and welcome into the 23rd edition of the Thoughts from the Bench podcast. This is just a short interview podcast, and we are here with host on WGN Radio, Jordan Burnfield. Jordan, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. Oh, I'm here with Austin, too. I didn't say that before, but yeah, Austin's here as usual.
Thanks, Luke. I'm doing great. Thanks for
asking. You got to speak up, Austin, but I think I heard you.
Oh.
There you go. All right.
My bad.
Well, we'll jump off right, or just get started real quick. Jordan, what are your impressions of Javi Baez? Is he already in the Hall of Fame, or how is this going to work?
Well, I think a lot of Cubs fans are ready to put him there. Obviously, he's been great so far. Today was great. I think that what we've seen from him is already what you'd expect to see. He's a guy who's going to strike out a lot. Guy who's extremely aggressive at the plate. I think he needs to develop some more discipline, but it's clear that he's got tremendous power and game-changing type power. And the two home runs he hit today, obviously exciting for the Cubs. I think today was one of the most exciting Cubs games we've seen in years, given this rebuilding effort. But it's clear that Javier Baez has provided a spark to this fan base, and people are into it, and the fact is, he's only played three games. He has a lot of games to go. He has a lot of development to still happen, but I think that so far he looks pretty good.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That his second home run, I just thought it was like a line drive down the line for a double, and then all of a sudden the camera pans out and it's like into the bullpen. I'm like, oh man, this is ridiculous. But yeah, it's awesome. I'm heading up to Wrigley tomorrow, so I'm pretty excited. I think it's going to be electric out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be great. I think there's no question that Cub fans are really excited about this team, about the fact that you've got Baez now, you've got Alcantara, you've got some of these guys in the major leagues, and it's all of a sudden you're starting to see this rebuilding effort sort of take shape. The last couple of years, we've been talking about, well, when are they going to get some of these guys to the major leagues? What is it going to take to finally see this rebuilding effort moving forward? And I think that what you're seeing now is you've got players who are in major leagues, who are making an impact, and are galvanizing a fan base that has been patiently waiting for something to happen. And the fact of the matter is, you know, you have a Cubs team right now that is more fun to watch. I mean, they may not win a lot of games, but Alcantara, Castro, Rizzo, and now Baez, you have four guys in this regular lineup that are part of this rebuilding effort. So I think it's a heck of a lot more fun to watch this team than it was maybe a month ago.
Yeah, I think I saw on Twitter that it is the best worst team in baseball.
Yeah. I think right now it's certainly more interesting to watch. And I think people are noticing it around the country, guys. I think that, you know, when you look at some of the reaction on Twitter, you look at what some of the people are saying about this team, it's clear that people are excited about the future of this franchise. The Cubs have the number one ranked farm system. They've gotten a lot of attention for that. So the fact that now, you know, they're in a position to bring some of these guys to the major leagues and we get to see them, I think we're going to see Jorge Soler next month, too. All of a sudden, it's, well, now this thing is taking form. How good are these guys? I think a lot of people are interested.
I got one more Cubs question, and we'll jump into the Sox talk with Austin. But obviously, kind of sort of big news last night. It came out that the Cubs put in a claim on Cole Hamels. Do you think that's an option for the offseason? Obviously, they're probably not going to get him in August. But do you think he could be a target later on down the road with his contract and the Phillies willing to get some youth to rejuvenate that team?
I don't know. I think that when it comes to Cole Hamels, the only way a deal would be able to be made now is if the Cubs gave up a bunch of guys they don't want to give up.
Yeah.
I think that the only way a deal happens in the off season is whether the Cubs are willing to give up some of their top prospects. Okay. I actually think the Cubs, as much as they like Cole Hamels, would probably rather try to sign a guy like John Lester if they can get him. They could use the Boston connections that Theo and Jed have with him. They drafted him, they developed him, and they don't have to give up any prospects to get him. All they have to give up is money. I think they're willing willing to give up money now. So I think that there's a better chance that you'll see Lester here in the offseason. Not to say that there's a really good chance they'd get him, but I think there's a better chance you'd end up with Lester than there is that you'd part with major prospects to get Cole Hamels.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, Austin, you got any questions for him?
As far as the Sox go, what do you expect out of the Sox as far as like after the season, the moves that they made? Their bullpen is just about as awful as it gets. Do you think that I don't know if I'm just making this up or if John, like, is there a possibility that we trade Danks for some bullpen, or is there any like rumors being talked about what the Sox are going to do in the off season?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up trading John Danks at some point, because he's being paid a lot of money and hasn't put forth a performance for what they're paying him. I think that when it comes to the White Sox, they've taken a big step forward this year. I know that they're not going to make the playoffs, but this is a team that lost 99 games a year ago, and right now they're only 5 games under 500. So I think that they've certainly taken a big step forward. When you look at them moving forward, you know, you've got Abreu now, who's obviously a monster, one of the best hitters in baseball. You have some decisions to make, though. Paul Konerko is going to be gone. Adam Dunn's going to be gone soon. Who do you put in the middle of that lineup instead? Looks like it's going to be Abreu and Avisaíl Garcia, who is likely to come up soon. But do they need to add another bat? I think they need to add more pitching. It's clear that they have to fix the bullpen. As good as Sale's been, Quintana's been pretty good. I mean, really, their bullpen's a wreck. So I think that Rick Hahn is a smart guy. I think he's always been a pretty astute guy, and I think he certainly can identify the problem with this team because it's pretty obvious. I think that they're going to make some additions this offseason. Do I see them making a huge move, big money move? You know, I'm not so sure about that, but I think that the White Sox are definitely progressing in the right direction.
I would definitely agree with everything you said. I had another question lined up. I shouldn't remember. Oh, what are the chances, if any, that Jose Abreu wins MVP this year?
I think he definitely could win, Austin, but I think that when it comes to MVP, you know, it's often a player on a team that is going to make the playoffs. Since the White Sox aren't going to make it, I don't know that he's going to win. I think Jose Abreu is certainly deserving. He's absolutely tremendous. One of the best hitters in the game this season. I think right now, Mike Trout probably is the leader. And I think that's because Miguel Cabrera isn't having an incredible year for him, even though he's having a great year. When you look at Mike Trout, you know, here's a guy that's top 4 in RBIs, top 5 in home runs in the American League, hitting over 300, high on base percentage, 12 steals. Defensively, it's great. The last couple of years, you could have said Mike Trout could win it. The reason he didn't was because Miguel Cabrera was out winning the Triple Crown. So I think that maybe this year it's Mike Trout's turn to win the MVP, if you will. But I think that there's no question that Jose Abreu is deserving. I just don't know if being on the team that he's on is going to hurt him.
That's what I expect. It's hard to measure up, especially when you say like Miguel Cabrera is having a bad year for himself, and he's still one of the top 3 hitters in the AL. And then he's throwing Trout as having a monster year, but you know, you got to also look at like Abreu and how he started off. I think before his injury is .236 average, and then he had the 2 hit streaks. So now like he's definitely boosted up in the average as well. So I just wanted your take on that, and that's like my last question.
All right, we're gonna shift on to football here since I think Bears open up tomorrow. So, I was wondering what your take was on the whole Martellus Bennett situation.
I think what Martellus did was inappropriate, and I think the Bears did the right thing by suspending him. The fact is, you know, Martellus Bennett is a very good player. I think he's generally respected in that locker room, but I think some of the goofy stuff that you see is not really respected by his teammates. I think they respect him, but, you know, Martellus is always putting on a show. He's always got to be the center of attention, whether it's with interviews, whether it's, you know, in any kind of public for them. And I think they're probably thinking to themselves that they don't, you know, that they could use him kind of dialing it down a notch. I think that what he did to Kyle Fuller was stupid. Obviously, if he hurt him, that's your first-round draft pick. You don't want to get a guy hurt in training camp. So I think that what they did was fine. I think that the fact that he's probably going to miss the preseason game tomorrow is a good thing, because it shows that the Bears are really taking the suspension seriously. And I think that, you know, when he comes back, the message will have been received. You know, I don't think that they really want to make an example of him as much as they don't condone his behavior, and they took care of him.
Yeah, you can always see him on Twitter or Instagram. He kind of just seems like one of those – I don't want to say kind of – I think he's one of those out there guys that kind of just tries to be funny at all times, and kind of you can see how that rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've interviewed him. He took an interview with me once and turned it into a total circus. I mean, that's the kind of thing he does. And Martellus has generally been good to me. I mean, I don't have anything bad to say about him. I just think sometimes guys that are always trying to be funny, you know, sometimes people are really funny. Sometimes they're not always really funny. And I think that, you know, it's one of those things where what he did in this situation was totally inappropriate, and it gave them the opportunity to suspend him, because what he did wasn't funny. He wasn't trying to be funny. He lost his cool and did something that was totally inappropriate. But I think that just my feeling from talking to people around there is that this one event was not what caused the suspension. It was this event plus behavior that has rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, like you said, Luke, and I think that's why we're at where we are.
I agree with that. And Austin, do you have anything?
I mean, specifically on that topic, I'm sure that, Luke, you've seen my tweets. Originally, I thought that it looked like Fuller had face masked him on the play, so when I saw the interview or the replay, it didn't seem like it was all that, extraordinary for Bennett to take offense to it. But then you start, I heard at least from different reporters that it wasn't a face mask, that it was, you know, it might not have been the cleanest of all tackles, but it was in no way a bad tackle. Then you throw in the fact that he was apparently bad-mouthing, and I don't know how accurate that is, Brandon Marshall. So I definitely think that it was more of a message, this is not what we stand for. We're not the Detroit Lions. So that's what I got it from it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a funny way to put it. But, yeah, I mean, that's essentially what it is. I mean, they don't want conduct that's detrimental to the team to be going on, and that's what happened. I mean, it was conduct detrimental to the team. And I think that they had to make this move, because you can't condone this sort of thing and let it go, because that sends a message to your fellow, to the other players on the team, to the fellow teammates, that this kind of thing can go unpunished. They had to do this. And I think that Bill Emery and Mark Trestman deserve credit for what they did. And it's clear that they made a move that was appropriate. And I think that when Martellus returns, like I said, I think they'll be fine.
Yep, I completely agree with that. How do you think the Marquise Wilson injury is going to affect the offense going forward? I know they've worked out a couple people. Santonio Holmes is a big name they've worked out, but I don't really see anybody of impact coming in. How does this affect, obviously, his development, and how does this affect the offense going forward?
Well, I mean, it hurts his development because he's not playing.
Yeah.
And he's not going to develop by being on the bench.
Yep.
In terms of the offense, I think that it hurts because this was going to be their third wide receiver. They, you know, for all that they have on offense, they have a lot of weapons. They really don't have a lot of wide receivers. And so to lose Marquise Wilson, obviously a young player that they wanted to see, what he could bring the team, that hurts. But I think that, you know, when he comes back, they'll see what he can be. They'll see what he can do. I think that they'll ease him in. It might give an opportunity to some younger guys to get opportunities that they didn't necessarily want to right away but may not have a choice. Well, one thing that I'll say is that the Bears still have great weapons. And when you look at, you know, Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall and Matt Forte and Martellus Bennett. I mean, that's four guys right there that you can go to. It's not like this team is devoid of weapons and they were going to really count on Marquise Wilson, but yeah. It certainly takes away some of their depth. And I think that when they're able to get him back, that they'll try to ease him in because they like him. But for the time being, it hurts their depth.
Yeah, I agree. So we're going to play a little over-under game right now. I'm just going to make these questions off the top of my head. All Chicago sports. So over-under, 8.5 wins for the Bears this year.
I go over because I think they're going to win 10.
And do you think they wild card?
I think they'll win a wild card. I still think Packers are probably the best team in the division. But I think they can win the. I think that they can earn a playoff spot.
Okay, and over-under 65 games for Derrick Rose this year?
I mean, I would say over just because I think he's going to be healthy. But we would have thought that last year. I think that he certainly looked good in that scrimmage that everybody watched. It was televised on ESPN with USA Basketball. But it's hard to say. I mean, the guy's been hurt the last couple of years. But I tend to think he's going to be able to play all season.
And over-under 1.5, the 1.5 seed for the Bears, or for the Bulls, I mean.
I would say under because I think that Cleveland will probably be the best team in the East.
And do you think that's probably going to be the Eastern Conference matchup, right? Or Eastern Conference final matchup?
Unless one of them chokes, yeah.
Yeah.
Cleveland.
All right. And over-under 5.5 for the Cubs draft pick this year. Or next year?
Well, I mean, I think that they're probably going to have. Yeah, I think that they'll probably end up with the. You know, I'm going to say over. They could end up with like the sixth. But they. Because I think they're going to play a little better when they get a little more talent on the roster. But yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to have a top 10.
Over under 42.5 home runs for Jose Abreu.
Well, we're in August now, and he's got 31. That's a tough number, but I'm gonna go with the over. I'm gonna say he'll hit 43, 44.
Yeah, and last one here for me: over under on the pace he's going right now, 162 home runs for Baez in his next 162 games.
Oh, over. He's gonna hit 1,000 home runs, so way over.
Okay, yeah, I saw a tweet that said he'll probably break Bonds' record by 2017, so.
I mean, why not, like, next weekend? I mean, he might be able to do it then.
Oh, I can't wait till tomorrow. I think it's going to be electric. I mean, last time I can remember Wrigley being electric was the 2008 playoffs when I went, and since then, nothing really, but I think tomorrow is going to be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Javier Baez being on the team, first game at Wrigley is going to be great. When they get Soler up here, I mean, you're really going to have a lot to watch. So it will definitely be an exciting game tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. Austin, you got anything left?
Nope.
All right, well, you can follow Jordan on Twitter, @JordanBurnfield, correct?
Yes, that's how you can follow me, and I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you for inviting me, and keep up the good work.
No problem. Do you want to plug anything, or do you have anything to plug?
Well, I think people probably know that I work at WGN and at the game, and that's where you can find.
All right, that sounds good. Well, that was episode number 23. Jordan, we do this thing after every episode, the number 23 of the podcast and for Chicago sports, and do you want to read us off our list of honorees?
Sure. What do you need me to say?
Whoever wore 23 in Chicago sports history.
Michael Jordan. Where are you?
We should probably go with Hester. Hester was probably the most famed.
You'd say Hester over Michael Jordan?
No, I'm just kidding. No.
Yeah.
We're definitely going with Jordan, but all right. What was that?
Kyle Fuller, he's 23.
Sandberg's not a bad guess, I guess, but now we're definitely going. I think we're going with Jordan.
Yeah,
All right. Well, Jordan, thanks. Well, Jordan, thanks for coming on the podcast, and hope to have you back sometime.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care. Talk to you soon.
All right. See you
No
later.
problem,
Thank you.
dude.
Okay. Bye-bye.